We've been across the board on evangelism. We started with a biblical theology. We talked about our role in evangelism. We talked about overcoming fear and changing our approach to evangelism. And now we're coming to what is kind of the practical, really practical side of things, how to actually share the gospel with somebody, how to walk through a presentation of the gospel. But our lesson this morning is titled, How To. And the first step and the second step I put down there for how to evangelize is, first of all, growing in our own relationship with Jesus Christ. If we aren't growing, if we aren't in the Word daily, digging out truths for ourselves, learning more about our God, then we're not going to be effective in our evangelism. Our effectiveness in evangelism is equal to how passionate we are about evangelism. So you'll never be more of a gospel witness than you are digging into the gospel yourself, digging into scriptures yourself. And so that's really the first step. So as we get to the how-to part, I want to be very clear. If you're not growing yourself, then you're probably not going to be great at evangelism. And the whole rest of this lesson isn't really going to be extremely effective. But I believe we do have a church full of people that are genuinely growing, that are pursuing Christ day in and day out and want to evangelize. And so the second step I have there is growing in our prayer. One of the big struggles that we will have is praying before evangelizing. And one of the weaknesses in our church is the attendance level of our prayer service. If our goal is to go out and to evangelize people, our goal is to go out and give the gospel out and to grow our church by seeing people come to Christ, well then we should be on our knees and we should be constantly going before the throne of God in prayer. And so if we're not praying as a church that God would change the hearts of sinners, then why would we expect that he will do it? See, if we're going to be a church that wants to grow, if we're going to be a church that wants to grow and see people come in that are unsaved, it's great when people come from other churches and come and attend our church. But I think we all long to see unsaved people come to Christ. And that's something, that is a power that is not in ourselves. And we've talked about this over and over again, the fact that that is something that God does. It's not something that we do. And so if we want to see our church grow through people coming to Christ, that's going to be something that God needs to produce. And that's something that we're going to need to go before the throne of God together as a church if we want to see that happen. And so if we're going to see our church grow, I believe that the first step is to see our prayer service grow. And I know that for some of you, that is probably not something that you really wanted to hear this morning when you came in. Come attend our prayer service. But if we want to move forward as a church, if we really want to see lost people saved, then we have to depend on God. And that happens in prayer. And as a church as a whole, if we want to see our church move forward, we're going to see it through our prayer service moving forward, through us as a church getting together, gathering together, and praying to God. And that's the only way that we'll grow. Anytime that we try to do something in our own power, we will fail. And so the first step that we need to take is to grow personally. And the second step we need to take towards our evangelism is to grow in our prayer as a church. And I know some of you are like, I come to the prayer service and I haven't seen you there very often this fall. And you'd be absolutely correct. Because I have a job that has kept me from being here on Wednesday nights. And that's one of the things that has been the hardest for me this fall, is to miss the prayer service week in and week out. Because I want to be here. I want to be here meeting together, praying together as a church. And going forward, that's something that's really weighing heavy on my heart, is how can I really be a part of this church and moving forward if I can't make it to the prayer service? And so that is one of my challenges for evangelism, is prayer. If we're going to move forward, our prayer service has to move forward as a congregation. We have to challenge each other to be moving forward together as we pursue God and as we pursue him in prayer. And that's how we're going to see evangelism really start to grow in our church, is when we are a church that is known for praying, depending on God for what we can't do. Because either we can try to go out in our own strength and evangelize, or we can go out with the strength of God, with the Holy Spirit behind us. And that happens when we go before his throne. We request his boldness. We ask him to do great and wonderful things through our church. And that's how we will grow as a church. So those two things need to be in place. And once those two things are in place, then we have to know how to share the gospel effectively. And today I have two basic methods that I want us to kind of look at. And then I'm going to have us do sort of like a practice time, a role play, shall we say. And I know some of you are probably not excited about that. I know I had one person tell me that it's always awkward and it's terrible. And so we're doing it for Kyle, so he can do it. So we will get to that, but I don't want you to be extremely nervous about that right in the onset. But what I do want is I want everybody to have the notes for today, not because the notes are awesome, because I have two sentences that are my own on there and a lot of blank spaces and a presentation by Two Ways to Live that I'll help you with that. So I want to just show you a couple resources that I've found over the last month or so that I found to be really helpful. The first one is this little booklet that's called Ultimate Questions. And it's going to go through basically the big questions that we should be asking in life. And there's a lot of questions that we do ask, but there's some questions that are really more important than others. And that's what he's walking through in this booklet. And so he starts out with, is anyone there? Basically, like, how did we come into being? Then moves to, is God speaking? What is God like? Who am I? What went wrong? Is sin serious? Where do I go from here? Can a religion help? Is there an answer? Why the cross? How can I be saved? Which way now? And he gives a list of references for each one of these points that he goes through. And to be honest, as I read through this yesterday for a second time, I thought this would be incredibly helpful if you have somebody that is interested in hearing the gospel, interested in ultimate questions, and you can take them through each one of these questions week by week. And so I'm not sure, I should have counted, but I'm not sure how many questions there are, but you could meet every week and just work through one question. It won't take you a ton of time, but you could walk through that together if you have somebody that would be interested in doing that with you. And you can get it online. It's really cheap. I think it's like $2 or $3 to get these things. But that was the first resource I wanted to show you. The second one is this small pamphlet about one of the presentations that I'm going to be doing this morning with Two Ways to Live. And it just walks through it with you. And you can give this out to people. You can walk through it with people. But in and of itself, it's a great resource that you can give out if you don't have the time to walk through it with somebody, or if you want to flip through it with them and show them kind of the step-by-step instead of drawing it out like I'm going to do this morning. But like I said, there's a lot of ways to give out the gospel. And to be honest, that's you probably have different ways that you've learned, and you have different ways that you probably like. I'm not saying that these are the only two ways. These are just two ways that I've found are extremely helpful. In the day and age that we live, people love visual things. People love to look at something, to be able to picture it. And these two ways kind of draw it out and kind of explain it a little bit. And another popular method that is becoming more and more popular that I didn't take the time to really work out and be able to flesh out today, because I think these two will be enough in themselves. But what a lot of people are doing is drawing the storyline of Scripture. And so many of you probably remember being in an English class and talking about the plot of a story. And you have that graph, you know? Some of you are like, yes. Others are like, no. Okay. Well, that graph right there is a perfect graph of what Scripture is. And you can draw Scripture out on that graph. And the climax that leads to Calvary, and then what's happening afterwards, all of that. And it relates really well to a culture that loves movies. Because every movie has a plot line. Every movie has some kind of a plot that leads the same direction. And you can equate it and start a conversation that way, talking about, you know, what movies do you enjoy, and move it that way into a conversation, or what books do you enjoy? And do you know that the idea of a plot line, that comes from something much greater? And the plot line of Scripture is really where we get a lot of these from. And I saw somebody talk through every different kind of movie that you could think of and basically say it gets its foundation from Scripture and the way that the Bible has its storyline that shows all of these things. And I thought it was very interesting. But that is one way. But the two ways that we're going to look at this morning, first of all, I want us to kind of look at two ways to live. And if you want to, you have enough space on your piece of paper to kind of draw these out. And I would suggest for the two ways to live one that you use the full sheet of paper, because it's going to be, and probably landscape it, because it's the bigger of the two presentations as far as how much space it takes up. And then there's a page at the very back that is blank, and that'll be for the role play section for you to be able to practice with somebody. So, if I can get this. Basically, you're going to have a giant rectangle to start. And you're going to divide it into three equal sections, which, as you can see, mine are perfectly equal. but I am not the best at drawing. I will fully admit that. Most people find my drawings humorous. But I think it's great to draw this out. And a lot of people will draw these out in like napkins at like a restaurant or something. As they start to talk to somebody, you don't necessarily need to carry around with you like a ream of paper or anything like that. But the idea of two ways to live is you start out, and how you start out is that there's a God. And this God created the world. And when he created the world, he created everything as perfect. And so here's man, and everything is perfect. And we know this, we still can see in the world that there's a beautiful design and that everything that was made was good at a certain point in time, and we can still observe the beauty of creation. And so you can start with that, and you can ask people, you know, what do you find incredibly beautiful here on earth as far as creation goes? And everybody has things they love, whether that's the Grand Canyon, Niagara Falls. I'm listing all American places, but there's all kinds of places on earth that are just incredible to visit and that people love to visit. But when God created the world, being the creator, he was the ruler of the world, and everything was perfect. But you and I both know that that is not the case today. Because what happened was that man rebelled. And what Adam decided, I want to be king. I want to be in charge of my life. And when Adam made this decision, what he was doing was rejecting God as his father, God as his ruler. And when he did that, there was a price to be paid, and we all know that. There's a price to be paid by rejecting God. And let me back up real quick. I forgot the reference over here. Revelation 4:11 talks about this idea. Actually, let's look up these verses because I think that would be helpful. And the idea of God creating a perfect world and being the ruler of it, Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." God created everything, and he deserves the glory for it. That's what makes him the ruler of it. And so, that's the first section, and as we move into the second section, we can see that we rejected God's rulership. We rejected him as being in control. And you can see these in a lot of different places. And I'm only going to list one verse out per, but you can find your own verses that you love that fit these. And the one that they give is Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. And these are somewhat familiar verses. Romans chapter 3 says, "As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one." And so we are not capable of being the ruler of our life because we don't do it perfectly. We can't do it perfectly. And so what happened is that there's a punishment for that. And so God is still all-powerful. He's still the ruler, and he has to punish us for this. So you draw a figure like that. And the idea is the punishment is eternal separation from God. The punishment is death. And you see this in Adam and Eve. You see that Adam and Eve were punished. They were separated from God spiritually, but they were also separated in the fact that they were now dying. And so you see this death happening. And under this, I believe it's Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 is the verse they give. And Hebrews 9:27 says, "And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment." There is a judgment coming. And the judgment that's coming is eternal separation from God, which is hell. And we all know that. But people need to know that. People need to know that there is a hell and that is real. You know, a lot of people shy away from that in our society. They shy away from eternal punishment because it sounds so harsh. But it is true, and not only that, but it's within God's character. And we need to understand that if we take away God's wrath and his justice, we've taken away a big piece of who God is. And that's important for people to understand that. But we don't stay in this condition because there is a hope. And that hope comes because as God is the ruler, God had a plan. And God's plan was to send Jesus to earth. And so here we have what you would draw is this right here. And then as you draw this stick figure, the idea is it should look like a cross. Because Jesus came to earth and he lived a perfect life. Unlike us, because in this state up here, we couldn't do it perfectly. We couldn't be the perfect ruler. But Jesus came and he was perfect. He obeyed the law completely. He did everything that he was supposed to do to live a perfect life. But in doing that, the Pharisees and the Jews crucified him. And by dying that death of a perfect life, he has taken our punishment. And so for this one, we could look at 1 Peter 3:18, which I'll draw down here. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." So the idea is that he being righteous took on the unrighteousness that we had and can make us righteous through his death. But we know that Jesus did not stay dead. And this is important. Some people leave this out. They end with Jesus on the cross. And what they do is they leave the bread of life not living. And so it is important that in our gospel presentation, we have Jesus Christ rising from the dead. And so right here, the idea is that Jesus is ascending back into heaven. And now he is united as with the Father. And he's back in the place that he is supposed to be, deserving of all the glory and honor because of what he did. And we can see this in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And if you turn over there, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his grace and mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." And the idea is that Jesus ascending to heaven is worthy of everything. He's worthy of all praise and all glory. He is the ruler. But that leaves us with a choice. And this is what this whole idea is getting at. The whole presentation is you have two choices. There's two ways that you can live. The first way is that you can continue to live as if you were in charge, as if you were the ruler of your life. And it gives what that results in, and I think this is very good. We can reject the ruler, God, to run life on our own way. This results in being condemned by God and facing death and judgment. Or the other choice that we have is that we can choose to submit ourselves to Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And by doing that, we rely on Jesus' death and resurrection. And this results in being forgiven by God and being given eternal life. And so the verse for that they give, and I really like this verse. I went over it last week with the kids and Sunday night. It's John 3:36. And if you look at John 3:36, this is at the end of the exchange that John the Baptist has with his disciples. And John 3:30, most of you probably know this verse. Probably all of you, in fact. "He must increase, but I must decrease." And at the end of this dialogue, John says this. He says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." So the idea is, and taken directly from John chapter 3 and verse 36, if you believe in the Son, you have eternal life. But then it goes on to say, "Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life." And so we must put ourselves under Jesus Christ. We must obey him. Because John says that if we do not obey him, we will not see life. And so as we go about giving this gospel presentation, you ask them, so which way do you want to live? Do you want to continue to be the ruler of your life and stand under the condemnation of God? Or do you want to submit yourself to Jesus Christ? And by submitting yourself to Jesus Christ, you gain eternal life. You gain a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then their answer would determine where you go next, obviously. If they say, I just want to be the ruler of my own life, they're choosing that punishment. And we've made it clear what the consequences are. And by choosing that, there's really not much more we can do for them. You can give them verses, and it is a good thing to give them verses, but ultimately, they must make the choice that they want to submit to Jesus Christ. And if they say, I would like to submit to Jesus Christ, that's when you tell them, okay, this is how we submit to Jesus Christ. And you can look at Romans 10:9, which says, if you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. And you tell them about repentance, and you tell them about putting themselves under Jesus Christ and trusting him to save them for eternity. So that is two ways to live. And as you flip through, I gave you the 6 points to that one right there. And you're not probably going to walk through it just like I did. At some points, you're going to have dialogue back and forth. That's why for this, it's really hard to just give the straight presentation because you're going to have dialogue back and forth as you go, making sure that it's making sense to them, making sure that you're communicating clearly. And you can even have them kind of retell you what you're trying to say to make sure that they're understanding what you're saying. So that's the first way that I would like to show you this morning. And the second way is what I think is a little bit easier. And for some of you, you'll probably agree with me. There's a lot less steps to this one. But this one starts, again, with God's design. And it's called the three-circle method. So right here we have God's design. And in this one, it's going to be three circles, which is easy, right? We can remember three circles and some lines that circle around these circles that will help make sense of this. And so this is a really good one, like I was saying, even with two ways to live, but especially with this one, you can talk about the design and creation. People see it. People see that there's a beauty here on earth, that there is a design that is awesome. And you can use that to tie into this as you talk about things that are beautiful. Or what happens here is we have sin. And of course, an easy verse for that is Romans 3:23. Or you could go to Romans 6:23. And what happens is sin causes what they call brokenness. So in the second circle here, you're going to have the word brokenness. And most people can see this. In fact, almost anybody can see it by looking at our society today. Even in the news within the last week, you see brokenness. There's incredible brokenness in our society. And I'm not going to get into all the details, but there are things that are horrific. I can think of this fall, multiple shootings here in America. And all those shootings people think are awful, and they're unreal. And you say, okay, so we have this beauty here, but then we see this brokenness. Why is that? Why do we see this brokenness? Well, the Bible gives us the answer. I believe that there's a true answer to why we see both and what this brokenness truly is. And if you need to, you can look up verses about brokenness with them. Most people can just see it right off the bat, but you might want to show them these verses anyways. Proverbs 14:12 and Romans 1:25 talk about this. And so we'll look up the Proverbs verse together. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. And I think we see that in our society. And I think our society is seeing that as well, that though there might seem a way that we could fix everything, you know, if we have the right people in our politics system, if we have the right people running all these different things, then we could solve it. If we get this reform on the guns and we do this, this will all solve it, but it doesn't. It all leaves us broken and in a broken world. And so what happens is that people begin to look for different ways of fixing this brokenness. And it might be that political realm that we're talking about. Or it might be something like religion. And they try to fix the brokenness through religion. And so they look out and they look over all these religions and they say, I'll take this, this, and this. Or they stick to one religion and they think that's going to fix the brokenness. And there's lots of different ways. And people do it in their own way. And They do it all the time. It's what we do. We try to fix what's broken, and people are trying to do that here in this universe. But we know that none of these attempts will work. There's nothing that can fix the brokenness aside from the gospel. And so, what we have here in the third circle is the gospel. And of course, you can look up verses for the gospel, a couple of verses that would be really good. First one that comes to mind probably for everybody would be John 3:16. And that's a well-known verse that's out there. And it's a good one to use. Do you really know what John 3:16 means? Because everybody's seen it. You've seen it on a sign at a football game or somewhere else. But John 3:16 communicates the message of the gospel, and you can tie that in there. Or Colossians 2:14 talks about the gospel as well. But it's not just that there's a gospel out there. There's something that needs to be done if we're going to fix the brokenness that is within our own lives. And what needs to be done is repentance and belief. And so repent and believe. And a good verse for this, one I talked about already, is Romans 10:9. Confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord, thou shalt be saved. And so that is the three circles. But what is terrific about this is that it ties it all back in together. Because not only do we know that God had a design, that sin broke this design, and it has made this world that is full of wickedness, and that the gospel solves this problem, but in accepting Christ as our Savior, what happens is that we get the opportunity to return to God's design, to return to the way that God has truly meant it to be. And we'll never be perfect here in this life, but the idea is that we want to move forward in trying to recover God's design and to pursue after it. And there's lots of verses almost across the New Testament that you could look at for the idea of sanctification, about growing in who God is. Two great ones are Ephesians 2:10 or Philippians 2:13. And so that right there is the idea of the three circles, that God had a design, sin broke that design, but in the brokenness, if we repent and believe the gospel, we can return to God's design, what he has designed for us, especially right now, and that is that we come to saving knowledge of him and then grow in our knowledge of him. And so these are two methods right here, but I did put some websites on that piece of paper that you have, and those websites will point you to some apps. And for some of you, you're like, I don't really want to use an app. And that's perfectly fine. But some of the teenagers or some of you that are tech savvy, you might want to look up these apps that kind of walk you through these gospel presentations. And so instead of drawing them out and having to remember everything, it's there in the app for you. And you can say, hey, could I just show you this real quick on my phone? Can I show you this app that walks through this whole presentation of the gospel? And you can give out this app if somebody's interested, but you don't have the time to go through it because they explain themselves all the way through. So if you go to those websites, it'll lead you to a place where you can download the app, or it'll lead you to more information about both of these methods of sharing the gospel that I showed you this morning. So what I want us to do now is I want us to break up into groups of two. So everybody find a partner, whether that be your spouse, or whether that be somebody you don't even know. It might be good to do it with somebody you don't know. But this ties into talking about the gospel with each other. We talked about this maybe week two or week three of my lessons. And the idea that we're uncomfortable sharing the gospel with unbelievers because we don't talk about the gospel with believers. And so I know this is a little bit uncomfortable. I know that it makes us feel awkward and we don't all love it, but it is really good to talk through because you realize, oh, this is an area that I need to work on, or this is a part of the gospel presentation that I need to really think through and find out how I can better communicate it because I didn't do such a great job. And we can learn from each other too. So it is a great chance for you to learn how somebody else is doing it, but also to be able to practice yourself and using one of these two methods. So I would like you to use one of these two methods, not because they're perfect or because they're the best, but I would like us to try to do that this morning. And that's what that last sheet of paper is for you to be able to, as you talk with that other person, to be able to walk through it, each other as you do it. So I'm going to leave this one up here so you can see this one. And then you have the two ways to live. You have that in the sheets in between that walks through all six steps for you there. So You can break up into groups. You can spread out a little bit. There's a lot of room over here if you would like to. And we'll do this morning. And then I will get up and we'll take probably the last 5 or so minutes to just take some observations about it, to talk about, you know, what did you like about it? What did you not like about it? What did you learn? Kind of thing. So at 40, we'll get back together. So you have about 7 minutes for each of you to walk through that together as we do this. So go ahead and break up, and you have the next 15 minutes to go over these together. I think most people are wrapped it up by now, but real quick, before I take some observations, let me be clear, a little bit more clear, on what to do at the end of Two Ways to Live. The end of Two Ways to Live, you ask them what they want to do, and you can't just leave them on a cliff like, okay, that's great that you want to do this, but I'm not going to tell you how. So you can find that in this, I don't know where I put it, but in the little pamphlet, it has what to do now, or you can look up, you know, different presentations of that, but repent and believe. Ephesians 2:8-9 is a verse that we often use. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. And so talking about the grace of God, and we need to believe, and we need to repent and turn to Jesus Christ. And what does it mean to repent? The word repent is to turn. That's the idea of it, to turn from our sins and turn to Christ. And that is repentance. And so we need to be clear on repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, and that is what saves us. So there at the end of that presentation. Any observations? Avia, yes.
I feel like it's a lot harder talking to somebody who already knows what you're talking about.
Yes, in some ways. What makes it harder to talk to somebody that already knows the gospel?
They might catch you in a mistake.
They might catch you in a mistake, yes. And is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It feels bad, but it's good.
It feels bad, but it's good. We should put that on a t-shirt. It feels bad, but it's good, right? Because we are like, oh, no, I messed up, you know, my presentation. But it's a good thing because it helps you to think through, okay, so next time when I'm sharing the gospel with somebody that is not saved, how can I not make the same mistake that I just made? Yes, that's good, Avia. I think both have their challenges because it depends how much they know about the gospel. So somebody that like half knows the gospel, it's really hard because you're using these terms, or somebody that might be a Catholic or something, and you're using terms and they're like following you, but you don't mean the same thing by the same terms. And so that can be difficult. Or somebody with no knowledge, you're using these terms and they're like, what's that, what's that, what's that? And then you're like, how do I explain all these things that I've known my whole life, some of you, and just grown up, oh yeah, this is what this is, just in your mind, but not really knowing how to explain it. So yes, they are all difficult in their own way. Yes?
When using the verses, mm-hmm. I mean, we live in a society now where a lot of people have no Bible-based knowledge at all. Or in the end, they have a negative perception of the Bible, that it is just a book for some religious fanatics. And so, as Anne was sharing with me, I was driving her nuts because I started out with, you know, where does that come from? This is the Bible. Well, there's lots of religious books.
And he was very difficult.
But I say that to say, I mean, I like the three circle design because, you know, from the beginning, if you start with the Bible, some people might just glaze over. It's like, okay, if you're only going to talk to me about the Bible, I mean, then you really got to prove the Bible's true.
Yeah.
But everybody can see there's beauty here in the world and there's brokenness. And what we see is that that's God's design and man's fall. But you know, for us to say, this is sometimes how we get looked at as arrogant, because we accept the Bible as the rule book. God made the world; He sets the rules. But they look at us as that we're making the rules, but we're not. And there is a little tightrope to walk there, but if you use too much religious talk, they just, you know, the words that we're familiar with, they're not familiar with.
Yes.
And even worse, some of the words they are familiar with, they have been used to beat them over the head to the point that you're pushing people away instead of drawing people in.
Yes.
I think we have to be able to recognize the opportunity to share the gospel. Not every conversation is going to lead that way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So we have to recognize that opportunity when it's there and available.
I'm not sure if all of you heard that. Basically, what he was saying is, not every opportunity is going to be an opportunity where you can just sit down and share all of this, or any of this even. You have to recognize the opportunity where the door is open to the gospel. And I think this way does a good job of opening that door. Two Ways to Live is very thorough in the way that it does it. But oftentimes people aren't necessarily ready for that. But they can see God's design, but they can also see the brokenness. And they kind of understand the fact that we're all trying these different ways to fix the brokenness, but none of them really seem to be working. And that's why the Bible gives us a way. And I believe this way is the way that works. And, I was just as broken as you were. Putting yourself kind of in that same shoe where you say, I was broken too. And I'm not perfect now. But I know what it's like to search for all these different ways or to try to do it on my own. And I see now that the gospel is the only thing that can do it. It's not me. It's God that's doing it in me. So I think that's really good. The combination of all three of these, really good. We are out of time, but one last thing. I talked about the prayer service and Wednesday night, and without asking for permission ahead of time, which I often do. This Wednesday night, I really want to make an emphasis off of evangelism, and I really want us to do some praying together as a church for the people that we know that we have contact with that are unsaved. Even a couple Wednesday nights ago, I was here, and we had different people sharing about different neighbors that they'd been able to talk to and share the gospel with a little bit here and there, and relatives. And so, especially as we go into the holiday season, I'd love to see more of us out on Wednesday night, really just praying about the fact that God will continue to give us opportunities and give us new opportunities to share the gospel with the people that we know and the people that we have begun to build relationships with. So I will close in a word of prayer, and then we'll go from there. Dear Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity just to look at a few different ways of just sharing the message of the gospel. We know that this is a message that can change lives, and I pray that we would begin to build up ourselves so that we can learn to do it better. We all can grow in this area, whether that's people that have been saved their whole lives or just recently saved. We all can grow. We can all learn from each other. And I pray that this exercise that we just did wouldn't be a one-time thing necessarily, but that we would build off it. And we would realize the benefits of, talking to each other about the gospel and really growing with each other and learning how to do it better. Lord, I pray that you would give us more opportunities to share it. Even as was mentioned just a minute ago, the fact that not every opportunity is an opportunity to share the gospel, but every opportunity should be looked at as an opportunity to build a relationship or build a contact or to give out a little bit of hope so that we can share the gospel at some point. Lord, you know the people that are looking for hope even during this Christmas season. And I pray that you would help us as a church to begin to look around, to open our eyes to the possibility of the people around us that need to hear of your gospel, of your saving grace, of the hope that you give. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.